We want to welcome everyone today to our special Carols and Communion service, and also want to take a moment to welcome all those joining us online, along with all the men and women joining us in our correctional ministry. We love you guys. We love having you a part of our church. And so come on, Defiance, help me welcome our church family today. Come on, let them know. Come on, let them know. So good. Well, I'm just curious, as we kind of jump into the message today, how many of us love Christmas music? Come on, let me know. You love Christmas music. How many love a good Christmas carol? Anybody? How many of you started listening to Christmas music and disrespected Thanksgiving like 4 months ago? You don't care. I don't know, but I love Christmas music. I don't listen to it. I have a rule until after, right? Good Friday is when I really crank it up a little bit, but I don't know about you, but I love me some old school Christmas music. I love me some Nat King Cole, come on, the Christmas song, right? Chestnuts roasting over an open fire, come on. That's how I sing it. It's not how Nat sings it. He does it way better than me, but Jack Frost nipping at your, I thought it was toes for so many years, but come to find out it was my nose the whole time. But also love me some Frank Sinatra, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. Come on, somebody. Maybe you're a little bit more new school and you like a little Michael Bublé. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. And I love all of those songs, but honestly, one of my favorite Christmas carols of all time has to be Joy to the World. And the reason I think it's one of the carols that's at the top of my list is because it reminds me why Jesus came and what Christmas is really all about. And you may or may not know this about the carol Joy to the World, but it was written in 1719. So it's got a few years on it, been around for a while, but it was written by an English minister named Isaac Watts, and the lyrics to this carol are his interpretation of Psalm 98 that is celebrating the birth of our Savior, King Jesus, but also anticipating his return. And I love even how the carol starts out, that joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing, right? Joy to the world. Today, I want to talk to us about how God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, wants to help each and every one of us rediscover our joy. Now, joy can be a hard word to define. It can be a difficult word to define. It's a word that we sing in songs. It's a word we read in the Bible. It's a word that we use in conversations. And if we would go to Webster's Dictionary and look up the definition or meaning, or if we would really dig into God's Word and look up the Hebrew and Greek definitions, we would discover that joy means this inner gladness. But in all reality, the concept of joy can be really hard to explain. Like every single one of us knows what it looks like. Like when we see someone full of joy, we recognize it. And all of us knows what it's like to be full of it, full of joy, that is, right? Like we all know what it's like to have an extra bounce in our step, to have this excitement in our soul when joy is fueling our days. Fortunately, though, I think there are too many people in the world today, maybe in the room today, that knows what it's like to have joy but have lost it. To be full of joy at one point in our lives, but now today we find ourselves kind of running low on joy. Like all of us knows what it's like to have it. We see it in others. We can feel it. We've experienced it, but so many of us know what it's like to have had it, but somewhere along the way, we've lost it. And I think it's important for us to understand, especially as followers of Jesus, to know that God designed our souls in such a way to operate off of joy. Not in your notes, but God tells us in his word in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, he says that the joy of the Lord would be your strength. In other words, when we have joy, how many of us know, we just do life differently. When we have joy, we deal with struggles more effectively. When we have joy, we climb the mountains in life more quickly. When we have joy, everything else in life seems a little bit easier because the joy of the Lord is not only to be our strength, but fuel for our days. Unfortunately, too many of us know what it's like to do life without joy. And without joy, everything seems a little bit heavier. Everything seems a little bit harder. Everything seems a little bit darker. Without joy, how many know, marriage is a little more difficult. Raising kids is a little more overwhelming. Our house is no longer a place of peace. It's a place of turmoil because we're lacking joy. With joy, we can deal with whatever life throws at us. We can push the weightiness of life up that hill. But without joy, everything seems like a struggle. I want to encourage us today that maybe we would do a joy check on our hearts and see how much joy do we actually have in our lives, because the joy of the Lord is actually supposed to be strength for our days. And the tension is that every single one of us face and feel is that life, how many know, life can rob us of our joy if we'll let it. Life can be hard sometimes, and life can rob us of our joy if we'll let it. And so the question is, how much joy do we have in our lives today? Like just like the dashboard in our vehicles, there's a gauge for our gas tanks, right? And the F obviously stands for full, and the E obviously stands for empty. And when that dial gets close to the E, what happens? The gas tank warning light comes on. And I'm just curious, but how many of you respond when that gas light comes on? How many of you respond like my intelligent, beautiful, wise wife, and you immediately pull over to try and find the nearest gas station and fill your tank back up? How many of you do that? None of you, you're a bunch of rebels. I'm just telling you. So you must respond like I do when the gas light comes on. You see it as the beginning of the game. Let the games begin. Like, how many days, how many miles can I drive with that gas tank light on? Anybody? Come on, where are my people at? Let's go. Especially with gas being $75 a gallon. I'm going to see how long can I run this thing? How long can we do this? And my wife's vehicle, not my vehicle, but my wife's vehicle even has the gauge where it actually tells you exactly how many miles you have left till the tank is empty. It's lying. Come on, it's lying. It ain't true. I'm going to see as close to that line as I possibly can get without running out of gas. I do want you to know this game is extremely fun and intense, but it's no longer joyful when my wife catches wind of me playing it and she's in the car. Anybody, I just want to save you. All of a sudden, when she catches wind that I'm in the middle of level 45 and trying to go to level 46 and get to another mile marker, all of a sudden she starts strongly suggesting that we pull over and the game is no longer enjoyable. But I want to ask us a question today. Is our joy tank light going off right now? What's the level of our joy in our tank right now? Have we been running low on joy? If so, I have some good news for us, because our God, our King, is in the business of helping us rediscover our joy. And so if we've lost our joy, if our tank is running low, the question might be, how do we rediscover it? Maybe we're not smiling as much as we used to smile. Maybe we're not laughing as loud as we used to laugh. And I want to help us kind of unpack this idea today of rediscovering our joy. And to do that, I want to study part of the Christmas story. It's found in Luke chapter 2. Let's dive into it, starting in verse 8 and reading through verse 14. It says, "And there were shepherds." Everybody say shepherds. Now, these are going to be the main characters of our story today. "And there were shepherds living out in the field nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night." Pause there. I think it's important for us to know that these shepherds were more like peasants probably wearing the only clothes that they owned. They smelled like sheep, which is not a great cologne, just so you know, looking a little rough as they spent the night with their flocks. These were nameless, simple, ordinary shepherds about to encounter God in a way that would change their lives forever. But what I love about this story is that God reminds us that he came near for all of us, regardless of our income, social status, accomplishments, or even our mistakes. God came near. Heaven invaded earth, and he came for each and every one of us. It goes on to say, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause what? That will cause great joy for all people, not just for you guys, but for all people. And today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace, which is joy's cousin, to those on whom his favor rests. We talked a couple of weeks ago about how the wise men or the magi actually weren't there in the manger in the stable, but guess what? The shepherds were there. And so today, as we kind of unpack and study the story together, I just want to give us three simple things that the shepherds did to discover this great joy. And if we will do the same thing, how many will discover that great joy too? Because God gave us a promise for all people, for us even today. And so if you're taking notes, this would be a great time to pull out your journals and your pens and write down whatever God speaks to you. In fact, when I first became a Christian, I had a mentor of mine tell me that I should take notes in church and not just write down the points in the scriptures the pastor talks about, but really what I should write down even more than that is what God speaks to me during the message. And then later I could review it and apply it to my life. Because how many of us know we don't want to be just a hearer of God's word. We want to be a doers of God's word and a doer of God's word. And so if you're taking notes, you can also pull out your iPad or your iPhone and open up the Experience Church app. And we praise God for the technology to be able to do that. And if you have a Google or a Samsung device, you can put that away now. I've got nothing else for you from this point on in the message, all right? I'm just teasing. But how did the shepherds rediscover their joy? The first thing we can learn from these shepherds is, number one, they looked in the right place. You see, if our lives are lacking joy today, could it be because we're looking in all the wrong places to try and find it? We're looking to relationships, we're looking to accomplishments, we're looking to careers, we're looking to affirmation from others. Maybe if our lives are lacking joy today, one of the reasons is because we're looking in all the wrong places to try and find it. Let's take a look at what the shepherds did. Luke chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. It says, then when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go, right? That's kind of how I read the Bible. I picture like this team that just won a national title and they're all jumping around going, let's go. Maybe not. That's just me. It says, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. And so they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. The shepherds looked in the right place. In other words, can I just say it like this? Joy is rediscovered or discovered in the presence of Jesus. This joy, this lightness, this confidence, this gladness, this strength, this fuel that keeps us moving forward in spite of the adversity in our lives is found in the presence of Jesus. We won't find this joy anywhere else. We won't find it in a relationship. We won't find it in our finances. We find this great joy in the presence of Jesus. The psalmist said it like this in Psalms 16, verse 11. He says, God, you make known to me the path of life. When I'm making decisions, when I'm trying to find purpose and meaning for my life, I realize it's found in you and you alone, God. You and you alone direct my steps. You and you alone point me to fulfillment and purpose. You and you alone give me abundant life. And then he goes on to say, in your presence is the fullness of joy. In your presence is the fullness of joy. And in other words, other places might give us glimpses of it. There might be the counterfeit version of joy in other places in your life, which trips us up because we think this is going to give me what I'm looking for. Other places, the counterfeit version might give us a little glimpse of it, but only in God's presence is the fullness of it. And God's presence is the fullness of joy. Isn't it interesting that God tells us exactly where we can rediscover our joy, and yet we still look for it in other places? We still try to give other places a chance. The shepherds looked in the right place, and they found great joy in his presence. You know, this means that joy, our joy, isn't dictated or determined by our personalities. You know, some people think to themselves that they're never going to be filled with joy because they're just not a very joyful kind of person. Maybe we were brought up in a negative or a cynical family, or maybe we see what's wrong with something or someone more than we see what's right with them. Maybe the odds are really stacked against us, and even our blood type is negative, and we don't know what we're going to do. Got that as a dad jokes for Christmas. Just roll with it, guys. It's all good. But joy is found in his presence. So we can break that lie in the name of Jesus, because God's word tells us that our joy is not dictated or determined by our personalities. It's dictated and determined by being in the presence of Jesus. This also means that our joy isn't dictated or determined by our circumstances. I mean, there's a difference between happiness and joy. Yeah. Happiness means what's happening to us, what happens to me, right? And if life goes my way, then I'm happy, happy, happy. And if life doesn't go my way, then I'm sad, 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 right? For example, if our finances are going good, happy, happy, happy. But if I have no money in my bank account and I'm up to debt up to my eyeballs, I mean, oh, sad, sad, sad. If the stock market is climbing, man, happy, happy, happy. But if the stock market keeps crashing and Bitcoin keeps going down, sad, sad, sad. If the Buckeyes win on Saturday, I'm happy, happy, happy. But if they lose to that team up north, I'm sad, sad, sad. Too soon? Was it too soon? If people are treating me the way I want to be treated, man, I'm happy, happy, happy. But if everybody is being rude to me and a jerk to me, I'm sad, sad, sad. We're up, we're down, we're down, we're up. And there's nothing wrong with happiness, but I refuse to tie my soul to trying to be happy, because happiness is outside in, but joy is inside out. Joy comes from the presence of Jesus. And if we're going to rediscover our joy today, I want to encourage us to do what the shepherds did, and they looked in the right place. This is why it's so important for us every single morning. I'm just going to say it too. Before we would turn on the news, before we would jump on social media, before we start answering all of those emails, that we would open up the good news and we would posture and we would position ourselves to hear that still, small voice. That before we hear all the negativity at work or at school, that we would fill our souls with the sound of praise. Every single day, I want to experience his presence, because it's in his presence is the fullness of joy. Maybe if our lives are lacking a little joy today, maybe we're just not spending enough time in his presence. But just get back to his presence. Let me just create, maybe for the holidays this year, we could just create some margin and some space where we could get alone and just get into his presence. When's the last time we just sat at his feet? When's the last time we just worshiped by ourselves? When's the last time we made a joyful song unto the Lord, just him and I, just singing unto him, nobody else around, just me and him, getting into his presence? How many know it's in those moments I'm refueled? It's in those moments I find hope. It's in those moments the weightiness of the world seems so much lighter because I'm in his presence where the fullness of joy is at. It's in his presence. Let's get back to his presence. The second thing the shepherds did was number two, if you're taking notes, they spread it around to others. They didn't just keep it for themselves, but they gave it to others. Let's take a look at it. Luke chapter 2, verse 17 and 18. It says, when they had seen him, when the shepherds saw Jesus, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all, check this out, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. We have to understand that they were amazed because there was some weightiness to their words. They were amazed because something was different about the shepherds. What they were talking about, something's different about these ordinary, nameless, simple peasants who are out in the field. They're not acting the same. Something's different. They have something I want. They have something, they have a joy. They're shepherds. They stink. They don't have anything, and yet they have this joy. Something's different about them, and they didn't keep it to themselves. They gave it to the world around them. How many know the more we give it away, the more we receive it? How many of us know that joy is contagious, but so is misery? Have you ever been around someone who was just full of joy and they lifted your spirit by just being in their presence? But at the same time, have you been around that person who was miserable and negative, and they, instead of bringing everybody up, they brought everybody else down? Point at them now if they're here. I'm joking. What are we giving to the world around us? How many know we can't give what we don't have? We're giving something to the world around us. We're giving something to our kids. We're giving something to our families. We're giving something to them. And I would ask the question, is it a joy killer or a joy filler? What are we giving to the world around us? And so let me just give us an example of a joy killer and a joy filler. I really wanted to preach for like an hour on this, but I'm only going to give us one thing today. And I thought it was at the top of the list. The joy killer that I want to give to us is grumbling and complaining. I mean, if we want to kill the joy in us and those around us, just grumble and complain. I want to challenge us today to smash the lens of grumbling and complaining through which too many of us look. And I dare us, no, I double dog dare us to replace grumbling and complaining with the joy filler of gratitude. Gratitude is a joy filler. Gratitude not only opens the door to joy in our lives, but it infuses it into the world around us too. Let me just maybe give us an example of what this might look like in our lives, our daily lives. Maybe let's just take this morning for example, right? These last 3 hours or 2 hours of our day, maybe we woke up and we got the joy killer in our hearts, grumbling and complaining, and we woke up this morning, we woke up on the wrong side of the bed, and our back hurts, and we're like, I hate when my back hurts, and the only reason my back hurts is guys have to sleep on that stupid lumpy bed with all the springs. I hate that stupid bed. Want to get a Tempur-Pedic bed, but I can't afford a Tempur-Pedic bed because I got so much debt, no money in my bank account. I hate the fact that I'm broke, and I now got to get up. I don't even want to get up. I want to sleep in that dumb bed, but I can't because that pastor with the big arms and that short little guy told me I got to go to church, so now I got to get out of bed and go to church. I don't even want to go to church. I don't even like going to church, but I'm going to go to church because I want to miss Jesus when he comes back. And so maybe this is the day he's coming back, so I'm going to go to church. But before I do, I'm going to go in and get a bowl of my favorite cereal, Cocoa Pebbles. Come on, somebody. Turns my milk chocolatey, and I love it. Takes me back to when I was a little kid. I love it. Pour myself a bowl of Cocoa Pebbles, go over to the refrigerator. Somebody drank all the milk. I hate it when people drank all the milk. Who's the idiot that drank all the milk and didn't tell anybody? Now all we have is almond milk. What the crap is almond milk? Almonds don't even make. What kind of hippie from California invented almond milk. I hate almond milk. Now I'm driving to church and there's all this traffic and defiance. Where all these people come from? Traffic everywhere. I'm hitting all these red lights. I hate red lights. Red lights are stupid. We shouldn't even have stoplights. And I pull in the church parking lot and there are those people smiling at me. I hate when people smile at me and I pull into a parking lot. It's weird. It's creepy. Early in the morning, then they tell me where to park. I'll park where I want to park. I hate when people tell me where to park. And I walk in the building. Everybody's excited that I'm here. I'm not excited that I'm here. I go over and get some coffee, and coffee's too hot. Can't even drink it. Burns my mouth. Got any ice cube? You don't give me ice cubes or nothing. Just give me too hot coffee. I hate too hot coffee. And I walk in, lo and behold, someone's sitting in my seat. Who sits in my seat? I hate it when people sit in my seat. Don't they know that's my seat? I've been sitting in that seat for 2 years. Everybody knows that's my seat, and these guys are sitting in my seat. Now I got to sit next to these people. I don't even like these people. These people stink. I can't even see. I hate this. Then the worship team comes out. I hate these songs that we're singing. We should be singing only worship songs from the book of Psalms. I don't read the book of Psalms, but that's the only type of worship songs. Those are the theologically correct songs that we should be singing. That's what I like. And here comes this pastor yelling at me. I hate when the pastor yells at me. I'm having a bad day. I mean, joy killer, right? But what if we would approach today with the joy filler of gratitude? Right, we woke up and our back hurts. Like, oh, praise God, my back hurts. Reminds me that I didn't die in my sleep. Praise God, I got another day. And I'm getting up and go to church because I can't wait to go to church and see all the people that I love at church. But before I go to church, I'm going to get me a bowl of my favorite cereal, Cocoa Pebbles. Because I love how it turns the milk chocolatey and it brings me back to when I was a kid. So I go over to the fridge and somebody drank all the milk. But praise God, somebody bought some almond milk. I didn't even know almonds could make milk. Praise God for that hippie in California who found the little udders on the almond, were able to milk the almond to give me almond milk today. Praise God for revelation. Now I'm driving to church and there's cars everywhere. Man, I cannot believe how many people are going to church on Sunday morning. Man, God's house is going to be full today. And at every red light, I'm waving over at the other people, worshiping in my car. And we are on the way to church and I drive into the park. Praise God. There's those volunteers who got up super early to come in and warm up the atmosphere and be ready to welcome me as I drive into the parking lot. Now those my guys, I'm pointing at them. My God, wherever you want me to park, I'll park wherever you want me to park. You're here. You got the vest on. Let's go. I walk in. Everybody's excited to see me. Well, I'm excited to see you too. I'm in the house of the Lord. Let me get a free cup of coffee. Forget you, Starbucks. I don't have to pay $20 for a cup. I got a free cup right here at Experience Church. And I walk in the auditorium and lo and behold, somebody is sitting in my seat. Praise God, somebody is sitting in my seat, because that means somebody who usually doesn't come to church on a Sunday, who would know that that's my seat, is sitting in my seat, and they're about to have an encounter with Jesus today. Praise God, let me go sit over with these guys, and all of a sudden the worship team comes out, and now I'm singing, and I'm lifting my hand, and man, I sound good too. I sound better than the worship team. And I love worshiping Jesus. And all of a sudden that pastor comes out and he's a little intense, but I like his energy and I like his passion. And I'm having a good day. Right? I don't know about you. That's the kind of person I want to be around. I want to be around that guy who lifts my spirit and gives me the joy filler of gratitude. How many know we can find something to complain about anywhere? But let's be people who find something to be grateful for everywhere we go. Paul kind of said it like this in Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 through 15. He says, "Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may be blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you'll what? Then you'll shine." And that's what you'll give to others. You'll give them gratitude and gratefulness. Then you'll actually give the world around you something with substance that's going to help them be all that God has called them to be. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky. I love how it says stars in the sky, because I'm going to bring people up. I'm not going to tear people down.
In other words, we can either be a joy killer or a joy filler. And I'm just encouraging us today to spread joy to the world around us. And then finally today, the third thing we can learn from these shepherds about rediscovering joy is number three, is they returned with a joy they didn't have before. Something was different. Let's unpack it a little bit. Luke chapter 2, verse 20. I want to show it to you in scriptures. It says, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. And I thought, man, I love this. They returned with a joy they didn't have before. In other words, they brought their joy back into their everyday lives. Let me say it this way. They brought God's presence back into their everyday lives. They brought God's joy into their homes, into their families, into their relationships, into their schools, into their workplaces. They brought God's presence back with them. What if we had God's presence not just in our hearts, but in our homes? What if we had God's presence not just in our hearts, but in our schools and at work and wherever we went? The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God. And I thought to myself, man, the shepherds discovered that Jesus not only makes great promises, but how many of us know he keeps them too? I want to close today by reading a promise that God gives to every single one of us. Romans chapter 15, verse 13 says, may the God of hope, this is who God is. He's not the God of wrath. He's not the God of vengeance. He's the God of hope. May he fill you with all joy and peace as we do what? As we trust in him, so that we may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to encourage us today to lean into this promise that God has for each and every one of us. That may the God of hope fill us with all joy and peace, whose cousin is joy, the cousin of joy, right? But notice, it's as we trust in him. It's a promise, and he tells us how. How do we trust in him? The promise is that if we put our trust in him, put our trust in Jesus, we get more joy. Every time we take a stand for our faith and not run away or be passive, we get more joy. Every time we choose to love like Jesus, we get more joy. All joy is as we trust in him. And I don't know what kind of year 2022 was for you. For me, man, I had a lot of great things happen this year. Saw God do some amazing things and in and through the church and personally in my family. But if I'm really honest with you, at the same time, 2022 was a hard year. It was a difficult year. It was a heavy year. Anybody else? And if I'm really honest with you, today's message is almost more for me than it is for you. I want to get back to that place where I'm smiling like I used to smile and I'm laughing like I used to laugh, and there's this inner gladness that's in my heart that spills out into the world around me. And I just think I'm not the only one today who needs their joy tank filled back up. And so if you can relate to me in any sort of way, and maybe we've lost that bounce in our step and there's no longer that excitement in our soul, I want to join our faith together and make the decision to trust him and see God help us rediscover our joy. And we get back into his presence, then we would give it to the world around us, and then we would bring it into every day of our lives. Amen? Would you pray with me today? Father, we come before you today and we ask that you would help us rediscover our joy. God, those of us here today, God, that we're not smiling like we used to smile and aren't laughing as loud as we used to laugh, and we've lost that bounce in our step. And today, God, we know that it's such a crucial part of our relationship with you, that your joy is to be the fuel for our day, strength for our souls. I pray that you would help us to get back to where we used to be and experience your joy, this great joy. This is why
Jesus came. We want all that you have for us. As we're praying together today, and maybe you would say that you need God to fill you with some joy. Maybe your tank's running a little bit low, and if that's the case, I just want to encourage you, would you lift your hand to heaven right where you are? I want to pray a blessing over you. I want to pray that God would speak to you, God would fill you, God would touch the depths of who you are. You're running a little low on joy today, and you're acknowledging this message is for you. I hear your voice, God. Father, you see the hands in this place, God. I pray that you would help us to be intentional about getting back into your presence. If we're lacking joy, God, we recognize the reality that maybe a big reason is because we're not spending enough time in your presence, because we know in your presence is the fullness of joy. So I speak a blessing over everyone here today that's got their hand up that just needs joy, God. I pray that you help us to look in the right places, that we stop looking to wells that are dry, that we would look to the only place that can satisfy. It's in your presence. It's in your presence. It's not our personalities. It's not our circumstances. It's in your presence. I pray that you would fill us with all hope and all joy as we trust in you. As we continue praying together today, we talk about putting our trust in him. Maybe that's your next step. Maybe you've never put your trust in God to enter into this relationship with him. The Bible tells us that if we believe in our hearts and we confess that our mouths that Jesus is Lord, that we shall and we will be saved. And then our next step is, here's my life. I trust you. And if you need to make that decision, if you need to experience not just joy, but this great news, why Jesus came, and put your trust in him, would you lift your hand to heaven today? Say, here's my heart, God. Here's my life. I trust you. And right where you're at, would you pray this prayer with me? Say, God, thank you for your love that never fails. Thank you for sending your son, Jesus, to be my Savior, to pay the price for my soul on the cross so that I could experience forgiveness and freedom and enter into a relationship with you. And today, here's my life. I trust you. I need you. I love you. I want to know you. So fill me with your spirit. Show me how to live. My life is yours. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, right now we're going to transition into a time of communion. Hopefully you received a communion cup as you walked in. If you did not, our ushers, just raise your hand. Our ushers have some available for you. They'll get those to you if you need one. But I want us to know that we practice open communion here at Experience Church. And what that means is you don't have to be a member of our church. You just have to be a member of the family of God, right? I like to say it like this. It's not do we believe in God or not. It's do we know him? Either we know him or we don't. And if we know him, then communion is a beautiful sacrament that we celebrate. And I love the passage of scripture when in Matthew, when Jesus transitions Passover to Holy Communion. You study out scriptures, you're reminded of how God saved his people in Egypt, how he delivered them physically and set them free physically and save them physically. And then Jesus comes in Matthew chapter 26 and he transitions Passover into Holy Communion, because how many of us know now he came to set us free in our souls, in our spirits, to bring life into our spirits, right? And so really God is big on remembering. How many know we never want to forget where we came from? That's what communion is. It's just us pausing and remembering what Jesus has done for us and where we would be without the cross. Just like the shepherds, I remember that day when God changed me from the inside out. I remember when love came down and rescued my soul. I remember when I entered into this relationship with Jesus and I crossed over from death to life. I mean, that's communion.
That's what we're doing in this moment. And so there's nothing special about the wafer or the juice. But what they symbolize means everything. They're just symbols, but the wafer is reminding us of this body that was broken for us. Jesus was whipped and he was beaten so that we could be healed, so that we could have peace in our hearts and in our minds. We just pause and we remember, like, how many know freedom isn't free? Just like we celebrate our military and those who serve our country, even greater, we celebrate a Savior who paid the ultimate price, right? We just recognize that we've all been bought with a price and we no longer live, but the lives that we live by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. This is communion. And so I want to share a passage of scripture, Matthew chapter 26. I'm going to read it here. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body." And if you want to take the wafer out, pray over it, and then we'll take the elements together. Father, we thank you for the body that was broken for us. Thank you for making a way for us to have peace in our hearts, peace in our minds. Thank you that we can find healing and hope and freedom and victory in you, Jesus. And today, we remember when love came down and rescued our souls. We remember when heaven didn't just invade the earth, but heaven invaded our hearts. Today we remember. Thank you, God, for setting the captive free. That captive was me. The captive was us. And we don't take it lightly. We don't take it for granted. And we honor the price that was paid. We do this in remembrance of you, in Jesus' name, amen. You may take the bread. Scripture goes on to say, then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Father, we thank you for the blood that was shed for us on Calvary. We thank you for the forgiveness of sins. We thank you for how you cleanse us from all sin and unrighteousness. God, we're grateful for the fact that though our sin might be red like scarlet, you make us white as snow. Nobody loves us the way you love us, God. Nobody believes in us the way you believe in us. And we're reminded today of where we would be without the cross, where we would be without your love, where we would be without your grace, where we would be without your mercy that's new every single morning. Thank you that we have hope today. We don't take it lightly. We don't take it for granted. And we honor the cross today with hearts of gratitude. We do this in remembrance of you. In Jesus' name, amen.